Heavenly Father, you know that I'll only be a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, and nothing will happen unless you are at work this morning by your Spirit. And so we want to pray that as I speak, you'd use the words that I've written and will explain, that to change our hearts, that we might have a great delight for the precious gift of your word. And we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. Well, we'll all be aware that within any church family there are a very wide range of needs. So some people are particularly discouraged at the moment. There will be some who are struggling with doubt. Others will be facing serious illness. Some people have drifted from church, and we fear from the Lord Jesus. And we have many friends and family members who do not yet know the gospel. So the issue is, what should our strategy as a church be for addressing all the needs and to be able to minister to all these peoples? What should our strategy be? Now, Paul has some very good news for us in the passage before us in 2 Timothy, and he reports that God has provided for us a fresh, relevant, and all-sufficient tool to meet every ministry need in our church. And the tool is this, the Bible itself. Here in this passage, Paul is writing to his friend and protege Tim to encourage him to keep going in gospel ministry. He wants to encourage him to travel, hopefully, as he faces very severe pressures. For as you read 2 Timothy, you can see that the pressure on Tim is not simply to disbelieve the Bible. He's not going to do a Bishop of Durham and say, I don't believe what's written there. No, the pressure on Timothy is not to disbelieve it, but simply not to use it. We've all experienced going perhaps away on holiday and we've gone to a church and you've heard the Bible read in the lesson. And someone has gone up to speak and they may have begun with the passage or they may not have referred to the Bible at all. Well, that's an inauthentic Christian ministry going on. Or maybe you've met a Christian and they're full of questions and they're full of problems, and what you find is in their life they are a problem-centered Christian as opposed to a gospel-centered Christian. Or maybe you've been, as we went recently to a church, a big church, where we went on a Sunday morning and in the children's groups the Bible wasn't opened at all. A Bible story was told, but there was no opening of Bibles to show the children where this story comes from. But the point of this passage is that the Bible is to be used. And if you want people to become Christians, if you want people to be changed, the Bible must be used. And no technique or methodology will do it unless the Bible is at the centre and is being used. We begin a new series of sermons entitled The Walk, and we're really addressing the issue of how do we live with the Lord. And living with the Lord in the original is called walking with him. So do you have 2 Timothy 3 and 4 open in front of you as we look at it together? It can be found on page 1196. That'd be helpful as we look at it. And what we want to do this morning is look at the main command that Paul gives to Timothy. Then we're going to look at the two reasons why Timothy ought to use the Bible in ministry. And then when we've seen that, we'll think how this ought to apply to us, for we are not in Timothy's shoes. So if you've got your Bible open there, look at chapter 3 and chapter 3, verse 14, page actually 1197. But as for you, writes Paul, continue in what you've learnt and have become convinced of. Do you see the command there in verse 14? Continue. This is the main command. This is the main emphasis of the passage. What is Timothy to continue in? He is to continue in what he's learnt. In other words, he's to continue in the scriptures that have been taught to him and have changed him. The situation that Timothy is facing is this. If you look at 1 Timothy and chapter 1, verse 3, Paul has sent Timothy to Ephesus to do a troubleshooting job. We're told in chapter 1, verse 3 of 1 Timothy, command certain persons not to teach false doctrines any longer. In other words, he's been asked to do a very difficult task. There have been some church leaders in Ephesus that have caused a split in the churches there. They've taken people away in terms of what they believe from an authentic Christianity. And Timothy has been sent in as a troubleshooter to sort it all out. And that must be a very difficult and draining role. The group associated with Timothy looks weak. His message appears ineffectual. And Timothy is told by Paul to turn the situation around. And it's slow and discouraging, especially as you hear of another family stopping coming to church and going off with the other group or groups. Now that may not be our situation now, in our situation here, but we too are under pressure to move from authentic Christianity, and the pressure really comes from, because we live in a fast-moving, innovative technological world. Do you remember back in the 1980s, that's when I first became a Christian? In those days, Christians used overhead projectors and viewfoils. And that was the cutting edge. That was really new, because everybody else was using Hymns Ancient and Modern. There were no photocopiers in those days, as I remember. You had to use a duplicator. You had to type up your sheet properly. No mistakes, and if you made a mistake, you had to carefully tip-X out the original and then alter the copy as well, carefully. It's so easy today with laptops and word processors and all the rest of it. But because we live in a culture where everything is changing, and changing so fast, it transfers to the church too. And we are under pressure because actually, if you go back to the 1980s, church was so much fuller then. And we want the numbers, at least we feel the pressure, and we easily forget the one thing that must continue to be used, the Bible. You see, you need to remember, you and I need to remember that it's not personality that changes people. It's truth. It's not style that changes people. It's truth. And where do you find truth? In one book, this book. This book has truth in it. And it must be used. And Timothy is being urged there in verse 14 to continue. To continue in it, not to abandon it, not to think he needs to use something else, but to use this book. And Paul gives him two reasons why he is to do so. The first is a heritage of godly teachers, a heritage of godly teachers. Look again at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it. You know those from whom you learnt it. The reason that Timothy is to continue using the Bible is because of the godly teachers who have shaped him and have taught him the gospel. Well, who are they? Well, just keep a finger in chapter 3. Turn back a page to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Do you see that here are two of his godly teachers? Chapter 1, verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Who taught Timothy to trust the Bible? Well, in the first instance, it was Granny Lois and Mum Eunice. They taught him to believe. They used the scriptures, in their case, the Old Testament scriptures, to actually show him about Jesus and get him to believe. And like them, he must continue using the book. Not to do so fundamentally repudiates the message that they themselves brought him. Well, look on at chapter 3, verse 10, page 1196. Chapter 3, verse 10, back over the page, where there's also Paul. Look what Paul says there, chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. persecution, sufferings, and the kinds of things that happened to him all over the place. Yes, Paul also brought him the message of the gospel, and Paul's life is marked by great hardship, but also by faith, patience, love, and endurance. In other words, Paul was driven by a genuine love of Jesus and his people, and was willing to suffer for the truth. And this heritage of people who believe the message and believe the Old Testament scriptures are to actually drive Paul on in ministry. What is it that erodes your confidence in the Bible? Well, to change people, really. What erodes your confidence in the Bible to change people? And it seems to me that actually all around us there are people who are saying it ought to happen more quickly. That if you want to see people being changed, you need to adopt this method or that, you ought to, or that strategy. You ought to be much more bouncy, you ought to be doing this, that or t'other. And we know in our own experience, when you bring someone to church, maybe to Carols by Candlelight or an evangelistic event, and you bring them along, they listen to a talk or they hear a talk, and then afterwards they say absolutely nothing. And it's so discouraging. Or maybe actually you'll get some response and say, I disagreed with what the man said. And all around us there are people saying there are shortcuts, it'll be easy, it's easy, easy, easy. And Paul is saying, no, that's not right. It's very, very hard. And what we forget when people are telling us it's going to be very easy is actually we forget that actually the thing that converted us was a message from this book. And it changed us, and we know it's changed other people too. And church is fundamentally not about programs, but about this word being brought into bear on people's lives. And as it happens, growth then comes and people are saved. So that's the first reason he's to use the Bible and to continue is this heritage of godly leaders, that he's shaped his life already. And the second reason is that he's continued to use the Bible is because the Bible is the gift of God's powerful word. It's the gift of God's powerful word. Just look how he puts it in verse 15. And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed. Yes, do you see what Paul has been told in verse 15? Timothy's confidence must come from God's word, because he's seen it work in his own life. He's been brought to faith in Jesus and in countless others' lives as well. So he must stick with this path, this apostolic gospel that he's received. Now it's worth noting, isn't it, that the Holy Scriptures in verse 16 and all verse 15 and all Scripture in verse 16 are the Old Testament Scriptures, but they also include the New Testament. So if you're very nimble-fingered, just turn back a page or two to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Page 1193. If you're not nimble-fingered, just listen. 1 Timothy 5, verse 18, says this, "For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it's treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages." And what you find is in the bottom of the page where it says, do not muzzle the ox while it's treading out the grain, we see that that comes at the bottom of the page from Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. And Paul says, the scripture says. So you can see that comes from the Old Testament. But that little word, the scripture says, also refers to another phrase which Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 7. The worker deserves his wages. And what Paul is saying is that the Old Testament scriptures and the books that we would call the Gospels, he equates a scripture. Or just if you can, if you're nimble-fingered, turn to page 1224, which is 2 Peter 3, verse 16. If you're not nimble-fingered, just keep there. 2 Peter 3, verse 16. And 2 Peter 3, verse 16 is written by the Apostle Peter, and he writes this about Paul. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which is a great comfort, isn't it, to us, as you read the Apostle Paul, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Do you hear that little phrase? As they do the other scriptures. So he writes about the Apostle Paul and says he treats the Apostle Paul as scripture, his own writings. So what, do you see what we see as you see the New Testament? The New Testament says Old Testament and New Testament, as we understand it, is scripture. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 27 says this, I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. In other words, he's saying, what I have written is the equivalent of scripture. You are to treat it as scripture. That's Paul's own saying. And there are copious other notes, other references I could give you. Now, coming back to 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, what do the scriptures do? Well, they make you wise for salvation. In other words, that's a reminder of what the scriptures do, its power. What is the power of the Bible? The power of the Bible is it changes people. It saves people from hell for heaven. And then verses 16 and 17, which are very well known. Let's have a look at them. I'll read them to you. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This in its context is not really about the authority of God's word, but about its sufficiency. The fact that the Bible is God-breathed, the fact that it comes from God, underpins the fact that it is useful. See, if it was just poetry, it'd be wonderful stuff. I mean, there are bits of the Bible which are wonderful. But it doesn't change you. But the Bible changes people as it's used. And what it's saying is that, therefore, the man of God, that is the Christian leader, is thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, when you use the Bible, it'll do the work that you need to have it done. Now, this attitude about Bible is always challenged, isn't it? So the term the Renaissance, okay, which is an age of rebirth that happened around the 1500s as Constantinople fell and all the culture of Constantinople, much of it came over to the West, there's an age of rebirth. What had been happening beforehand? Well, it had been an age of the Bible, hadn't it? As the church growing. So basically saying the Bible doesn't do anything. That's how our world look at things. Or take the term enlightenment. What is that? Enlightenment's talking about light after a period of darkness. Well, what's been happening before the enlightenment? The Bible has been taught and brought to people. So actually we live in a culture that doesn't believe this. Doesn't believe that this is the book that actually you need to use. And Paul says it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. There are two positive tasks, one at the beginning, one at the end. The middle two are negative. So what Paul is saying, when the Bible is used correctly, it will encourage us. Why do we need to teach people? Because the church is ignorant. Why do people need to be rebuked? Because the church is full of error. Why correct? Because there's a potentially immoral church, which instead of loving God, we'll love ourselves and put ourselves at the centre. Why train in righteousness? Because every generation needs to see working models of godliness. And what Paul is saying is that as this book is used, the man of God is thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, in his hands he has the power to do his work. And so it's a tool. This book is a tool. And so what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 2, Timothy is told, go and preach the word. That's the application for him, isn't it? He's to keep his head, he's to be patient, and he's to be careful as he teaches the church family. And as he does so, the church will be corrected and rebuked and encouraged. And that's what God wants him to do. And that is authentic Bible ministry. A ministry that uses the Bible. What's the application for us? Well, the first is, have confidence in the Bible. Have confidence in the Bible. See, lots of people think this is a great book, but it's a bit of an effort to understand it. Well, just increase your confidence in God's word. God will work through his word. The Bible here is not simply to give you knowledge, but to change people. And as the Bible is used, it will change you and it will change others. If you exercise ministry, make sure you put the Bible at the centre of all you do. And as you do, you will see it convert, teach people doctrine, correct wrong ideas, rebuke sinful ways of behaviour, and train people in godly living. So have confidence in this book. That's one of the first applications. The second thing is delight in the Bible. Delight in the Bible, that's the second application. What a treasure we have. That's why we had Psalm 19 read to us. You see, if we see the gift that God has given us, we'll value the Bible. We live in an evangelical world. There are many new fads coming along all the time. And what we have to do is to be very wary of new fads. What we need to do is distinguish between novelty in doctrine and novelty in style. And that's hard sometimes. And we need to sometimes say we're going to have the courage not to go for novelty. If you go for novelty, it might make the church famous. You might be on the sort of Christian scene for a little while. But if you stick with the message, what you'll find is people are saved. And it'll help us live in the right way. If people are younger in their attitudes, younger Christians, what they do is they crave innovation because they look at the older people, they're wrinkly and fuddy-duddy, and they want to be more advanced than their teachers. And what we have to say to them is you need to examine your lives and see where your attitude is. Delight in the Bible. And say what we ought to be saying, each of us should be saying this: I delight in the Bible because I've seen the effect it's had in my life. And I've seen it work not only in my life but in others' lives. And I delight in the great resource that God has given to his people. As we sit, let's bow our heads and pray. But as for you, continue. Heavenly Father, we live in a world where many people chase the crowds. But Paul's message to Timothy is that he is to be different. And we pray therefore for us that we too might be different. Thank you that Paul holds out for us the amazing power of God's word, not only to save but also to change people. And we pray therefore that our confidence as a church might be in this book and not in people. And we pray too that we would also be people who delight in it, and we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.